Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is currently running at the Palace Theater on Broadway in New York City. The musical, based on the movie of the same name, is a sparkle extravaganza with harp sprinkled in, and after an overture, it begins with three divas suspended from the ceiling and singing this.
Humidity's rising. Barometer's getting low. According to all sources, the street's the place to go.
The story of the play progresses, peppered with other dance anthems performed by a talented lead and supporting cast as the main characters, two drag queens and a transsexual, travel from a nightclub in Sydney to a casino in Alice in their big, mostly glamorous bus. The bus, of course, is Priscilla. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is directed by Simon Phillips, and in June, Tim Chappell and Lizzie Gardner won this year's Tony Award for Best Costume Design. And believe me, they deserved it. Australian actor Tony Sheldon plays Bernadette in Priscilla, and has for well over 1,000 performances of this musical, as it's taken its own journey to stages in Sydney, Melbourne, Auckland, London, Toronto, and now New York City. Tony Sheldon joins us now. Tony, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Were you familiar with the movie of Priscilla before this play came across your table?
I saw it when it was first released in 1994, and I have to admit I wasn't that impressed. I saw it in the same week as I saw another Australian film called Muriel's Wedding, which I really, really loved. And I was also working with Rachel Griffiths at the time, so I took Muriel's Wedding to my heart and sort of dismissed Priscilla. I had known a lot of drag queens through my family, because I come from a theatrical family. And the way that drag queens were portrayed in Priscilla was very rough and very aggressive and very vulgar. And I suppose I just didn't relate to those sort of people. So my narrow-mindedness caused me to be very judgmental about it all.
And what turned you around about the play and has brought you on this enormous journey with the production?
I was invited to do the first workshop in Australia. Again, I was reluctant because I'd just come off 2 years of doing Roger Debris and The Producers, and I thought, oh, another throwing on a frock, you know. But we went in and we looked at the structure of the show, and I was also invited to pretty much dramaturg on the show in a way, in that I had a lot to do with the structuring of it and some of the writing. And I saw how well it hung together as a theatre piece, because it is a road movie, which means every scene takes place in a new place with a different set of characters. So there is a logical progression in the story, and it worked very well as a piece of theatre, I thought.
You mentioned you come from a theatrical family.
We go back to vaudeville. My grandparents, both sets of grandparents, were stars in vaudeville in the 30s. My grandmother introduced the song Secondhand Rose in Australia. She was a very beautiful singer-comedian. Both my grandfathers were low comics. My dad was a dancer. He was the first Fosse dancer in Australia. He did Steam Heat in Pyjama Game in 57. My mother still is a big musical theatre star in Australia. She's done Gypsy, Anything Goes, Wildcat, Pyjama Game, Beauty and the Beast, Pirates of Penzance, 42nd Street, all those big shows. My aunt is Helen Reddy, the rock singer who wrote I Am Woman.
So she's also a hero of mine from being in Pete's Dragon.
Ah, right. And by her daughter's marriage to a man called Lucas Donat, tonight I'm meeting my cousin's mother-in-law, who is Michael Learned, who is the mother in the Waltons.
Was there ever a time when you weren't going to be an actor?
I was born a singer and a dancer, really. It was sort of inescapable because it was all that was ever talked about in the family. There was no getting away from it. What I was frightened about was I knew I wasn't as good as everybody else in the family in those skills. I just wasn't. I didn't sort of have a natural aptitude. I didn't have the natural singing voice. I wasn't a natural dancer. And it wasn't until I was in high school that I started doing school plays. And in my school, we did Pinter and Stoppard and Ionesco and some very interesting stuff. And I
really light, easy stuff for high schoolers.
Well, yeah, but certainly for an Australian school, which is so football-oriented and cricket and sport, I was very lucky in that we had a good arts department. And I realised that was where my skills lay, my talent, my natural talent lay. So I pursued a classical acting career. I went into Shakespeare and original Australian plays. And then once I'd made a name for myself, then it was safe to dip a toe into the musical theatre world again.
How is theatre in Australia different, if it is, from America, New York, or London? Is it a different culture? Is it different, or is it sort of just its own version?
It's the same, because we've always received the best of English and American theatre, and certainly in commercial theatre, the American and English production teams would come out. This goes right back to the beginning of the 1900s, where entire American companies would come out of musicals, and we always had the creatives would come out and put shows in. Australian playwriting in itself, it was always very English up until the 50s. We always did those very drawing room Noel Coward or Agatha Christie's or those sort of things. Australian writers found a voice in the 1970s, I would say. But otherwise, it's just that Australia is that much smaller and we don't have the tourists that keep the British and American theatre industries alive. So it's the same, only on a much, much smaller scale.
Tell us about the journey that Priscilla has taken, that's taken you all over the world playing this role, and sort of obviously in that telling you'll explain to us why it resonates so much with you and you're happy to keep doing it.
Well, as I said, the workshop was over 5 years ago now. Having done the workshop and decided this was a role that I felt was within my range, I then had to watch while they auditioned everybody else in the world, or literally everybody else in the world, because they wanted a star. And I'm a theatre name in Australia, but I'm not a film or TV name. And that was, they felt they needed to hang the show on a really big name. They couldn't find anybody to play it who was believable as a transsexual. So they decided, the bus is the star, the bus is the star. They said, we're going to make this spectacular bus, Priscilla being a bus. And they went with three theatre actors. And then I was just lucky in that the producers started to find me indispensable to the show. So I got taken to New Zealand, and then they did the star search again for London. I certainly know that Ian McKellen and Michael Crawford were in the mix at one point. But they came back to me. I was taken to London as the only import. And then Toronto and New York. I've always felt that the show has a lot of me in it, and the show is now in my bones simply because of the amount of say I've been allowed to have. The director, Simon, calls me the taste police. It's been an interesting journey in that it's not only Australian, but it's a rather specific sort of Australian character. As I said, that really sort of rat bag culture, we call it, of people who are very, they say what they think, and it's that real put down humour. And the producers are scared of it when they take it to different cultures. They're frightened of how audiences are going to perceive the show, if they'll be put off by it. But I found that any attempt to soften it or to leaven it in any way takes away what is unique about the show. We're still striking it here. Our producers are still changing the dialogue. Like up to this week, we've been running since March, and they're still frightened of the abrasiveness of a lot of the show. And so we have to be good and go along with what they want us to do, and so we accept the line changes. I don't always think they're right. I think that audiences probably will accept more than they're given credit for. But it's an ongoing experiment with this show.
Our guest is Tony Sheldon. He plays Bernadette in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert on Broadway. And we'll have more with Tony after this short break.
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, oh, I realize. It's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all, and the darkness inside you makes you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through.
I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors are beautiful.
Support comes from the Jewish Federation of Ulster County, presenting their 15th annual Fall for Art fundraiser and art show featuring 28 Hudson Valley artists, September 8th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Wildwick Golf Club. 845-338-8131. And Maria College, Albany, New York, offering RNBS degree in nursing, 9 associate's degrees, and 5 certificate programs. Day, evening, weekend, and online classes. MariaCollege.edu.
There will be another song for me, for I will sing it. There will be another dream for me, someone will bring it. I will drink the wine while it is warm, and never let them catch me looking at the sun. And after all the loves of my life, after all the loves of my life, he could be the one. I will take my life into my hand, and I will use it. I will win the worship in their eyes, and I will lose it. I will have the things that I desire, and my passion flow like rivers to the sky. And after all the loves of my life, after all the loves of my life, I'll be thinking of you. And wondering why.
Welcome back. I'm Sarah LaDuc, and we are speaking with Toni Sheldon, who plays Bernadette in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert on Broadway.
You mentioned you being the tastemaker, and I imagine that playing a transsexual as a non-transsexual, you had to be sort of sensitive about some things and very aware of what that would mean to a person when they make that transition. How did you, I guess, sort of research or approach that?
I think the thing was that I knew I wasn't playing a sort of a generalized version of a transsexual. This character that I'm playing was a big star. She's based on a real person. Her name was Carlotta, and she's still around in Sydney. She was a big star in a club called Les Girls in Sydney. During the time of the 60s, right through the Vietnam War, when a lot of American servicemen used to come to Sydney on their leaves, and they'd go to this club where the most beautiful girls on stage were all boys. But they were spectacular. They looked like Raquel Welch. They looked like Kim Novak. They were spectacular-looking boys. And so I knew this was the sort of person that I was creating, somebody who'd had a lot of attention, somebody who was used to a champagne lifestyle, who had based herself on Hollywood's idea of what a woman is. So this was not just some suburban person who felt he was trapped in a woman's body. This was a very specific type of transsexual. And I knew these people very well. As I said, I'd grown up with them. I have shared dressing rooms with them. And it was very, very easy for me to lock in to who this woman was. And it was just, she's a woman. She's not a man. There is no vestige of a man in her. And once I can click into that on stage and keep my concentration going, it's very easy.
Is it tricky to keep that concentration 8 shows a week for all the time that you've been doing this.
Well, yes, because anything can throw you off. And it's simply that if you stumble physically and suddenly your walk changes, or you suddenly find your voice doing something that it shouldn't if you've got a cold or something, anything that takes you out of yourself can throw you off your game. I don't know whether the audience would notice it as much as I do. If I can't convince the audience that I am a believable transsexual early in the show, the whole thing tends to collapse on itself, because we're dealing with a sector of society that is not dealt with in musical theatre, and we have to take the audience on that journey to keep them with us for 2.5 hours.
Do you ever get to the theatre in the evening or in the afternoon if it's a matinee and wish that you did not have to put on those heels and that corset?
Oh, you bet. It's a three-hour transformation for me, and that starts with the exercising, the stretching, because I get leg cramps from wearing the heels for so long. So there's half an hour on a yoga mat, then I have to steam and do voice exercises, and then the preparation of the makeup, which I have to do myself, and then the getting into the corset, the wig cap underneath it. It's a very long, drawn-out process. At the end of the show, it takes me 5 minutes to get out of it. I literally, a handful of baby oil and whacked on the face and she's gone. But I suppose it's good, because taking that long to get into her gives me the time to centre myself and, you know, without trying to sound too pretentious. But I think if I'd had to just sort of run in and throw a hat on, it'd be a whole different ballgame.
What have been some of your other roles that you remember fondly or are particularly proud of?
There's interestingly some things like Long Day's Journey and Tonight. I had a whale of a time doing that. That sometimes the most dramatic plays on stage are the most fun productions to do off stage. They're sort of a catharsis. I did Torch Song Trilogy in Australia for a year. That was my first big commercial success back in the early 80s. I very much enjoyed doing that. I've loved doing the Sondheim canon. I did Company, Merrily We Roll Along, Into the Woods. I directed Follies in Australia. I've done Forum. They were all great fun. I did I Hate Hamlet, the Paul Rudnick play in which I played John Barrymore. That was enormous fun. I loved doing John Barrymore. So a lot of sort of small-scale plays that I've done for regional theatres have been some very satisfying experiences.
You have received several very prestigious award nominations, including the Tony and the Olivier for this production. Obviously, it's not what you do the work for, but it can't hurt.
Yeah, I must admit I'm not big on awards. I find the whole apples and oranges thing it's roles that win awards, not actors. I think there are certain roles, no matter who you put in them, if they've got the stamina to get through it, they're going to get the award. And I always knew Bernadette wasn't going to be award bait, because she actually doesn't have a moment in the show. She doesn't have a solo song. She doesn't have a big scene. She's sort of the glue that keeps the story together. There are flashier performances in the show. So I always felt a bit fraudulent being put up for awards in this particular show. And there's something slightly demeaning about it all, I think. Mark Rylance put it wonderfully when I saw him accept something. He said, to be nominated for an award for Best Actor is a bit like being nominated for Best Thief. You always feel that the real one actually got away. And I think there are people probably giving much better performances all around the world in small theatres that we never see. It's all very much to do with marketing. It's all very much to do with publicity and making money rather than, I think, you know, who remembers who won these things down the track, to be perfectly honest? I'm very cynical about awards, you may have noticed.
I was like, well, some people do. Radio producers have to know. And, theatre nerds, for lack of a better word.
I'm a theatre nerd too, but I've just found that being on the other side, and I've won many awards, I'm very pleased to say, but they do end up at the bottom of a drawer somewhere. And there's something sort of a bit strange about sitting in your house staring at remnants from your past, I think. It's like we should all just keep moving on.
Okay. So this is your first time working in America, right?
Yeah.
And how does it measure up to what you thought it would be if you'd thought about it before?
I've I didn't know I was going to be welcomed so warmly. It's been very moving to me. It's so wonderful to be part of a community, especially here in New York, where theatre is really taken seriously. And I compare it to the way Australians treat sports and sportsmen. It's impossible to get anything about the theatre into a newspaper in Australia or on television, and here it's a daily occurrence. You know, I was in my name and photo were in the New York Times more times in the space of a month than they were in 30 years in Australia in the press. So I just love that, and I have been encouraged to stay, and everybody's saying you can't go back, So, you know, I'm really hoping I am going to apply for a green card, and I would love to do more work here.
And all different kinds of work, I imagine you'd be willing to try.
Well, very much so. I mean, as I said, I come from a very diverse background in terms of I write, I direct, I do cabaret, I direct cabaret and write cabaret, and act and everything else. So I'd love to have a hand in whatever I could do over here.
You're in a long-term relationship, 30-something years.
32 years, yes.
And your partner is here with you.
My partner is here. He's also an actor, Tony Taylor. He's going back this month to do Importance of Being Earnest in Australia with Geoffrey Rush, who is going to be playing Lady Bracknell. Yeah. So that will be difficult to be separated. But he's put his entire career on hold for the past 5 years to let me have this adventure. And he has been the one home feeding me and cleaning the house while I go out and play Bernadette. So now it's time. It's his turn again.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is running at the Palace Theatre on Broadway in New York City. To learn more, visit priscillaonbroadway.com. Our guest has been Tony Sheldon. I'm Sarah LaDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Many times I've tried to tell you, many times I've cried alone.
Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone.
Don't wanna leave you, really. I've invested too much time
to give you up that easy.
To the doubts that complicate your mind.